like for you to pray with me, and let's just ask the Lord for His help in hearing and receiving what He has for us. Father, we just ask You, Lord, as weak vessels, Lord, knowing how easy it is, Lord, for us to miss it, for us to hear it and not retain it. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that this seed of the Word accomplish in us what You sent it to do. Lord, that we will be faithful stewards of the treasure that You impart to us tonight. And Lord, that it'll bring forth a great harvest in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the message tonight is for me, but I believe I'm supposed to share it with you. And I believe it's for all of us. And I'm just going to tell you that this is a really simple message. I think it's going to be short. But I said, I'm not promising nothing. But I'm just saying, I think it's going to be short, but it's a simple message. And you know, most of the time I preach like 10-point messages. I don't know if y'all realize that or not. You know, I give you series all in one message sometimes. But anyway, this is like a 1-point message, really. Let's get to it. Listen, in this life, there are so many things that just drain us, that drains our energy, our effort, our enthusiasm in life. It's one of the reasons that I need Wednesday night church. You know, it's not because I'm so spiritual. I told you last week, it's because I'm just that carnal. I need it. But anyway, life just puts a demand on us and draws from us all the time. And sometimes we're tired just because all of the different things that need our attention, and it seems like we don't ever have enough time. And I'm telling you right now, you know, I'm going to feel like I'm on vacation once we get in that new building, because right now I feel like I got two jobs. But you know, if it's not that, it's something else. All of us have those times when, you know, there's just so many demands of life on us and demands that other people put on us all the time. Family and work and school and church. You know, that pastor is trying to tell us we need to get to work. Yeah. Housework, projects, ball teams, cars, taxes, exes, the list goes on and on and on of things that put a demand on you and draw from your energy and just that life in you. You know, the old school way is to say we got too many irons in the fire. We just got too many things going at once, and you just get to where you're running in every direction and can't ever catch up. And sometimes we are just absolutely running on empty. Things that we can't just slough off, you know, there's responsibilities and things that you got to take care of. There are expectations and there's consequences if you don't fulfill those expectations. Life just takes a toll on us, more than just wearing out your body. It will wear out your body. Amen. You turn your hair gray, it may cause it to fall out, but it takes a toll on you in a lot of ways. I'm just telling you. Takes a toll on your body. And it's more than just what it does to your soul, to your emotional well-being and your mental health. It takes a toll there also. But here's the thing I want to really get at is that it drains you spiritually. Just life itself. Just going through the day and dealing with things. I mean, you might start off just fine in the morning and your morning commute. By the time you get where you're going, you're ready to cuss somebody out. Hopefully you didn't. Just saying. But we have to refresh. We have to replenish our spirit. And when we do that, listen, it not only keeps us sane. That's always a good thing. Amen. It not only keeps us sane and healthy, but it replenishes our spirit where we can be ready for all that God has for us to do. It puts us in the right frame of mind and puts us in the right frame of spirit where we can overcome, where we can win in this life. Now, Jesus is always the very best example, and he invites us, Matthew 11:28. In fact, I want to read 11:28 through 30. Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I've taught on this passage pretty in depth before. I just want to make a couple of quick points to you from this passage tonight. And the first thing I want to say is that Jesus says, "Learn from me." So here he is inviting us to learn from him. I mean, it can't get any clearer than this, that he wants to be our example, and he says, "Learn from me." As I said, there's a whole lot here in these three verses, but I just want to get to one more point, and that is in verse 30, he says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Now, I just want to remind you that this is the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And all that he went through, and all that he did, and all that he accomplished, absolutely amazing. The opposition, and all that he withstood, and yet he says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." How can that be? How is he not absolutely drained? How is the life just not sucked out of him? I know, you might be thinking, "Oh, well, he was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh, so, you know, it's just automatic." No, 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 listen. Jesus says, "Learn from me." We need to learn this tonight. Jesus models for us how we can be refreshed, how we can be renewed inside. Listen, he was God, but he was also a man. He got tired. He got hungry. He wept. He felt pain. He had the weight of the world on his shoulders, and yet he's able to say, "My burden is light." Wow. So there's something we can learn from Jesus. Certainly the most important person ever to live, accomplished more in his life and death than the rest of mankind in all of history. And somehow in 3 years, he did everything he needed to do. He was able to say, "It is finished." I love this verse from John 17:4. He says, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Listen, it doesn't get any better than that. As a child of God, as a believer, that's the best thing to be able to say at the end of your life, is to be able to say, "I have finished what you gave me to do." That's real success. In the NIV, he says, "I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." See, in spite of all the demands put on him, despite the tremendous task that he was given, despite all the needs that were brought to him, despite the opposition and the attacks of Satan, he was able to finish everything that the Father wanted him to do. He overcame. Listen, he overcame the world so we could overcome also. It's absolutely amazing. All that he dealt with, and he never got to that place where he lost his temper. Never happened. You say, "Well, what about when he overturned the money changers' tables and chased all those people out of the temple with a whip?" He didn't lose his temper. It was planned and calculated. If you read the text, it says that he sat down and he made a whip. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment fit of rage. He was getting ready, making him a whip. You boys are going to see something happen here in a minute. Just watch what happens. I don't know how long it took him, but listen, it wasn't God losing his temper. And all I'm saying to you is that with all that ever happened to him and all he went through and all he had to do, yet somehow his spirit was always fresh. His spirit was always ready. He was always ready for whatever the Father had for him. He didn't give up. He didn't stress out. He didn't tap out. He overcame. So how did he do it? Mark chapter 1, we're going to read beginning from verse 21. Mark chapter 1, beginning from verse 21. It says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." So it's the Sabbath. And as was his custom, he goes to the synagogue, and he starts teaching. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that's enough to drain most of us, to make us tired. In fact, a lot of preachers will tell you that preaching a one-hour sermon is like an eight-hour day of work. I mean, it'll make you at least that tired. Now, you may not believe that. Well, that's because you hadn't done it. Now, if you've done it and you don't believe that, that's because you hadn't done it well. Because I'm telling you, if you preach under the anointing, it will take something out of you. A whole lot more than mowing the yard and cutting some firewood. Because I've done those things too. And I'm telling you, this takes a whole lot more out of me. But Jesus, he teaches in the synagogue. And so then after he's done that, and he didn't do an okay job. I mean, he wowed them. They were astonished at his teaching. Verse 23, "Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" So this is no ordinary service. I mean, he's got people speaking out in the middle of the service. Demon-possessed people speaking out in the middle of the service. I'm going to cast out demons, had to deal with demons in the service. Verse 25, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' When the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee." Listen, they didn't have phones, they didn't have internet, but the word got out fast. That very day, the word spread all around the area. Verse 29, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever." That's the mother-in-law. See, they don't use that word in the Bible, but that's the mother-in-law. Sorry, y'all didn't get that. Anyway, just moving along. So he gets to this house. You know, they're supposed to have a nice lunch. But instead, Dr. Jesus is making a house call. And so he prays for Simon's mother-in-law, and she's healed. Verse 31, "So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them." So after church, they go over there. Jesus makes a house call. She gets healed. Verse 32, "At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him." What'd you do today? Listen, the whole city showed up and Jesus ministered to them. Can you imagine the line? I'm telling you, that's putting a demand on you. He was at it all day. He had to be tired. Don't think that he didn't get physically tired. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 5, when he met the woman, we call her the woman at the well, at Jacob's well, it says that he sat down by the well because he was tired. You know, we always talk about Jesus asleep in the boat when the storm came up and how the disciples were all in a panic and Jesus, he had peace. He's just up there asleep in the front of the boat, no problem. Well, I want to tell you something. These disciples were used to being out on the lake. A lot of them were fishermen. They were very accustomed to that. I mean, those fishermen were used to being out on the lake every day, but they were actually afraid for their lives. That's how bad of a storm it was. Have you ever been in a boat out on the lake when the waves start getting just a little bit big? And this is bad enough that it's scaring these fishermen. How can he be asleep in the boat? He must have been tired. It's not a matter of whether or not he's got peace. Listen, no matter how much peace you got, how can you sleep in a boat that's... And Jesus had to be tired after a day of ministry, body, soul, and spirit. Quite a day, but not that unusual for Jesus. How did he do it day after day? I mean, you would think that after a day like that, he would just be sleeping in the next day, right? And who could fault him? In fact, that sounds like a pretty good idea. I mean, if you have a day like that, you know, where you're ministering to people that are desperately ill and demon-possessed for half the night, well, man, you ought to sleep in the next morning. That would probably be my advice. Verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. See, you can rest the body by sleeping late, and it can even help your soul a little bit. But I'm telling you, there's only one way to refresh your spirit. There's only one way that you can really get refueled inside. And when you do, I'm going to tell you the truth. It'll not only refuel your spirit, but it'll do something for your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And it'll do something for your body too. But amazing truth here. Jesus, after this tremendous day, just would have worn anybody out. He gets up early and goes out to pray. Long time, it says, before daylight. And he found a place where he could be alone and talk to his Father. Why so early? And why a solitary place? I mean, why didn't he just sleep in till 9 o'clock and say, hey, I'm going to have a prayer time? Because he never would have gotten a time alone. He did what he had to do to get alone with his Father. Now, hear this message tonight. You got to do what you got to do to get alone with your Father. If that means getting up at 4 in the morning, if that means that you leave the house, I mean, I hope it doesn't. But I'm just telling you, you got to do what you got to do to get alone with your Father. We've had too much of this shallow, wimpy, worn out Christianity. We need that really intimate, powerful relationship with God, church. And it doesn't happen without you having time alone with your Heavenly Father. What does it take for you to get that time? Whatever it takes, it's worth it. You will eventually crash and burn without it. But if you make a time and a place for the one thing that you cannot do without, listen, you will finish everything that you are supposed to do. I didn't say that you would finish your to-do list. I'm saying that you will see John 17:4 in your life. That you'll complete everything that the Father has for you to do. If you'll spend time with Him, if you'll get refreshed in your spirit, if you'll get refueled, you can do everything the Father wants you to do. You know, I know I mentioned you'll crash and burn. I don't mean in a car wreck. But by the way, I want to get this in. When you're driving your car, and please hear me out now. You're driving your car and that's your prayer time. Listen to me. I understand. I get it. I know you can pray while you drive. I've seen lots of people, obviously they're driving or their mind was not on their driving. I know you can pray while you drive. Listen to me. I'm just telling you the truth, and I'm trying to help you. Jesus was praying when he was healing people. He was praying while he was casting out demons. He was praying for Simon's mother-in-law. I'm sure that he was praying. He could walk with the disciples and pray. Praise the Lord. Well, where we're going now, I've done my prayer time. No, there had to be a time where there was no distractions and nobody else and nothing else drawing his attention. I can't believe that person just cut me off. Listen, I'm not giving you a hard time. I want you to understand, you should pray while you drive. You should pray while you're doing housework. You should pray throughout your day. Jesus did. He said, I always do what the Father tells me to do, or what I see the Father do. I always say what he tells me to say. I know that Jesus was in constant communication with his Father. And yet, the Bible says that he got up early and he found a place where he could be all alone and pray. Don't think that you're better than Jesus. You need it. You need that time just totally alone with him. No distractions. Because you see, it's not just about you throwing up a prayer. No, it is about an intimate relationship with God. I know we think we can pray anytime and anywhere. So can Jesus. And yet, he got up early and found a solitary place where he could get alone with his Father. Now, some of us, our tendency is we just think we got too much going to do that, like we got more going than Jesus did. Verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they found him, they said to him, everyone's looking for you. They didn't say, Lord, we know you had a rough day yesterday. It was a long day. You must be tired. They didn't say, oh, Lord, we're sorry we didn't mean to interrupt your prayer time. They said, Lord, everybody's looking for you. Like, what are you doing? And there may be some people in your life that be like, what are you doing? Everyone's looking for you. You know, people will always busy you up if you let them. My wife's laughing up here. I'm just telling, if you let them, people will busy you up. Talk about a honey-do list. It's amazing how other people can find things for you to do. And I'm just telling you, even Jesus had to deal with the disciples wanting him to get back at it. Hey, everybody's looking for you. They went out searching for him. People, listen, they had real needs. There were more people that had needs. Jesus had people waiting to be healed and to be delivered, but he went out to pray. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't run on empty. He didn't do what he did on empty. That's why he was always ready to do what he needed to do, what needed to be done. That's why he always knew what to do. Are you listening? That's why he finished everything he was supposed to do. He didn't run on empty. He prayed all the time, and yet he still had to have that time of communion with his Father. I'm not talking about communion like the Lord's Supper. I'm talking about intimate fellowship. It wasn't a time of intercession. I don't believe it was a time of tearing down strongholds of demonic activity. I believe he was just getting alone with his Father to be refreshed and refueled. I don't believe he went with his request list. Well, here's my list of things. I got my prayer list. Now listen, you're supposed to bring your request to God. You're supposed to bring your needs to God. You're supposed to ask. But sometimes we also just need to be with our Father, not with an agenda, a list. Okay, God, here's your to-do list. You know, that's another word for our prayer list sometimes. Another phrase for that is just God's to-do list. Here's what I want you to do today. And I'm just telling you, church, sometimes we need to put all that aside. I mean, that's good. But I'm telling you, we need that time where we just refresh and refuel in the presence of the Lord. I don't think Jesus was worried about all the people he ministered to the day before. I don't think he was worried about tomorrow. I think he was just being with his Father. Now, Carmen and I got in a hurry this week. You know, she's real spiritual. It kind of gets on my nerves sometimes, but she's got this thing, you know, I don't hurry when I drive because Jesus was never in a hurry. Well, I was kind of sort of, you know, made us late, and so I was kind of sort of hurrying. And I had to get gas. I mean, we were going to be really late if I didn't get gas. You know, your car says miles left till, you know, and mine was on zero. So we get gas. Well, I pull in. I put 3 gallons in. I mean, it was like right at $10. $10 don't get a whole lot, does it? I put 3 gallons in. So I get in the car. You know, we had enough to get where we needed to go that day. But, you know, it's still on E. What a picture that is of some of us in our lives where we just get just enough to keep going, just running on E. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, when you're all alone with the Lord and you sit in his presence, it refreshes your spirit. It helps you see the big picture, restores your confidence and your strength, your faith. Listen, too often we turn our prayer time into something we do on an as-needed basis. You know, like, okay, well, I guess I need to pray about this. And we get this skew on prayer where it's all about me taking my needs to God. Listen, I'm going to say it one more time. You're supposed to take your request to God. But it's not all about that. And neither, see, it's a wrong mindset. And neither should it all be about, it's not a religious duty. Well, the pastor said we're supposed to pray every day, so here I am. No, it's the wrong mindset. It is about a relationship with your Heavenly Father. See, we can pray over our meals. We can pray at church. We can pray with our family or friends. You can pray with your small group. How intimate can you really be with someone when you're in a crowd? Now, if you really want to be intimate with somebody and share your heart, you need to be alone. It's about a relationship. See, it's not about I got my 30 minutes in. It's not a duty, it's a relationship. Well, what am I supposed to pray about? Well, how long do I have to do it? Well, what if I can't think of anything to say? If you're asking those questions, you're on the wrong track. It's not a time frame. It is not a time limit. Okay, has it been long enough yet? Well, it's been 5 minutes. I thought it was 20. It's not about a time frame. Listen, it's not about a list Now, I'm not knocking it. I think it's a good thing, you know, in the right perspective. I've taught the Lord's Prayer, called it the blueprint for prayer. And I believe that it's a pattern that Jesus laid out for us in a way to pray. And I think certainly that you ought to pray that way. Jesus taught us to pray that way. But I want to tell you, it's not even about going down through your prayer list and your pattern for prayer. We also just need that time just to sit in the presence of God and just rest, just to be still and know that He is God. You say, well, I don't have much to say. That might be a good thing. Just be quiet. See, we even turn prayer into just another busy thing that we got to do. And instead, it ought to be the best part of our day where we sit with the one that we're supposed to love above all else. And we get refueled and refreshed, and everything looks right again. I don't mean the world all looks right, but I'm talking about in here, you know, you get the right perspective again. Get all bent out of shape in this world. I'm telling you, this is how you get straightened out. Spending time in His presence. We try to take care of our body, you know. We try to take care of our well-being. There's an article in the New York Times that says that 1 in 10 Americans are on antidepressants. Now, that's just antidepressants. That's not counting other drugs that people take to try to stay, you know, I mean, that's antidepressants. That's not counting all the people taking Valium or Xanax or whatever else. And I don't really know that much about all that stuff, but just antidepressants alone, 1 out of 10. So let's see, how many are in here? No, I'm not going to do that. But here's my point, you know, people know how important it is to take care of the body. They know how important it is to take care of their emotional health, their mental health. What are you doing about your spirit? That's why I come to church, Pastor. Listen, it takes more than that. You need to be giving your spirit a time of refreshing every day, just in the presence of the Lord, just being with Him. And I'm just going to throw this in. Even if it's just 5 minutes. Now, if you sit there for an hour and a half, that's great. But even if it's just 5 minutes, sit down and be quiet. And just sit there in His presence. And if you didn't feel anything and you didn't hear any big thundering voices, that's okay. But you just need to open the door. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in and commune with him and he with me. The amazing thing is when we take care of the Spirit, it's amazing what an impact that has on our mind, our mental well-being, and also even on our body when you take care of the Spirit. We need to make first things first. You know, Jesus was fighting on the front lines. And after that Sabbath, I'm sure His body and His soul and His spirit were tired. But this is how He refueled. Now, if you're just coasting through life, maybe you don't need to refuel. But I would like to encourage you to get a copy of this message because you're going to need it. Now, I was being sarcastic. There's none of us that just coast through life. We all fight battles and we all get weary and tired and we all get drained and we all need to be refueled. During the Gulf War, it was really an awesome thing how the American tanks just obliterated all the Iraqi tanks. Just wiped them out. It was like nothing. They're so superior in technology and firepower. It's just totally superior. But could you imagine what it would be like to be in a totally superior tank and be totally out of fuel? And I'm just telling you that as a child of God, you know, we're supposed to have the power of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be, well, We're supposed to have power. Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. But you know what? That's not like a one-time shot. You're supposed to refuel. And the only way to do that is to get alone with the Father and to rest in His presence, just to receive from Him. When the tank, you know, when your tank gets low, even little challenges start getting to you. Instead of being loving and patient and kind, you end up being grouchy and short-tempered and irritated. So if we want to be like Jesus, Jesus says, follow me. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to pray like Jesus. You're going to have time alone with your Father. Get alone with God. And remember when the disciples found Jesus, they said, everybody's looking for you. Do you know there's always going to be needs? There's going to be needs before you pray. There's still going to be things pressing when you get done praying. There's always something. You may think you don't have time to do anything, much less just go hang out with God for a few minutes. But I'm telling you, you need that refueling for your spirit. It's the most important thing you do all day. And all those pressing needs can wait. Just remember how effective you're going to be when you're refueled. But also, how much more effective you'll be when you've heard from God. And I'm not going to tell you that every time that you sit down and get quiet for 5 minutes, that you're going to hear a voice. In fact, I'd probably be concerned if you do. But I am going to tell you this, though, that if you want God to speak to you, and I'm talking about in your heart, I'm not talking about weird voices and stuff in your head. People get all messed up. I'm talking about something on the inside that you know that you know. Listen, most of the time that happens when we get alone with God and we get quiet enough, we shut out all the distractions where we can really hear from God. And what a difference it makes when you hear from God. So the disciples come and they tell him, everybody's looking for you. I mean, the whole town had showed up the night before. So what do you do when you have that kind of success in ministry? Well, you go right back, right? I mean, this is the loving and kind Jesus. So they come and they say, hey, you know, all those people we ministered to last night. Okay, well, they're all looking for you. So let's go. I mean, it doesn't say that, but that's kind of implied, right? It's like, come on. Here's what happened, verse 38. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. He says, let's go to the next town. Jesus. Don't you care about, yes, he cares about those people. He loves those people. But listen, his agenda was not based on what everybody thought he ought to do. His agenda was not dictated to him by the disciples or by the demands of the people. He had been with his Father that morning. And they come and they say, everybody's looking for you. He says, let's go to the next town. And I'm just telling you that in your life, when you start hearing from God and you're doing what He wants you to do, you're going to accomplish everything that the Father wants you to do. But so often we just end up running here and running there and trying to do this, putting out fires and running on empty. You know, I'm a fix-it guy and I try to fix everything. Cars, toys, plumbing, sound systems, people, relationships, the church. I even want to fix the economy, traffic problems, the Dallas Cowboys. I want to fix everything. You know what I mean? And I think I could do it if they would let me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just, I'm a fix-it guy and I want to fix it. The only thing I don't want to fix is dinner. Isn't that right? Now I got some news for you. This is good news. We're not supposed to fix everything. And as bizarre as this may sound, this may rub somebody the wrong way, but Jesus didn't fix everything. There were still people, when he left, there were still people for Peter and John to heal. There were still more demons for Paul to cast out. And I'm just telling you, you're not supposed to fix everything. This is how Jesus could say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He did what the Father told him to do. This is how you can be able to say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, because you do what the Father tells you to do. You don't let everything, you don't let your schedule and other people and this thing and that to put demands on you and dictate to you what your agenda and what your schedule is. No, instead, you get along with your Father. What a difference it makes. See, we miss the most important things that we're supposed to do because we get so caught up with our own importance that we think that we're too important to sit in the Father's presence and do nothing. And I say that with sarcasm, because it's not doing nothing. It's doing the most important thing that you could do, to sit in your Father's presence. Allow him the opportunity to speak to you in your heart. Get your Bible out. Allow him to speak to you through his word. But just to be in his presence and rest in him. That's my simple message tonight. Well, I titled it a negative title. It's Running on Empty. Not for me anymore. You got to make that choice. You just got to say, not me. I'm not going to run on empty anymore. Not going to do it. Well, stand with me and let's pray. Oh, Father, you're so gracious. You're so loving and kind and so patient, so long-suffering with us, Lord. Lord, that when we neglect you, Lord, when we are so foolish with our time, and Lord, when we allow the cares of this life to press in on us, yet you love us and you wait for us patiently. And I just pray this evening, Father, that every person in this room tonight, Lord, would cherish and long for that time with you. Oh, Father, that our hearts would just be turned to you, to know you more intimately. Lord, to hear your voice, to feel, Lord, your love and your comfort around us, to be in that secret place where there's nothing of the enemy can touch us. I thank you, Father, for your goodness, your blessings upon us tonight. And Lord, I just pray that in the days ahead, Lord, that we'll just seek you out every day. Every day we'll find that solitary place to pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, I love you. I'm going to dismiss you. And if you need special prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.